All right, back on a Young Turks, King and Anna with you guys. I'm going to do some
nice outfit.
You too, Casper.
I just noticed it. It looks good.
Nice thing, right?
Yeah.
I think the collars might be a tad too large.
No, I like it.
Okay, if you say so. All right. Let me go to some donors for the journalism drive. $127 from Lisa in New York, $250 from Janet in New Jersey, and $270 from Aaron in Nevada. Remember, $127 gets you a T-shirt if you want it, the special for this campaign, and $270 gets you the T-shirt and the soundboard. Let's pick a random one.
Sarabies.
Okay, there you go. You can have that anytime you want. Anytime you can tell your friends.
Abi Kibar, Trump, Sarkar.
Okay, and $1,000 still could get you a TYT ring, limited edition. Okay, your mama says, is this the first time government officials might just declare something for national security reasons to avoid transparency? Referring to the Susan Rice story. And I get your sarcasm, mama. yeah, that's exactly what we're worried about. No More Donation says, this story bolsters the fact that mass surveillance was used by the Obama administration, possibly for political reasons. Again, we don't know if it's for political reasons, but yes, we warned you about mass surveillance during the Obama administration, and they most certainly had it. Xenophrenia says, if the Democrats aren't careful, this Russia shit is going to become their Benghazi. We'll see how that turns out. Okay, before we do the stories that I promised you, I just want to tell you one quick thing. We have an awesome new sponsor. It's Aspiration.com. It's a bank, but it's a progressive bank. And the reason why I say they're an awesome sponsor is because this is exactly the kind of sponsors we want, the ones that align with our values.
Right.
As I read you the list, it's going to sound a little too good to be true, but it is actually true. They are 100% fossil fuel free banking and investments, so no dapple. Up to 1% annual interest on your checking account, which if you know, like that's
not insignificant.
Yes, you can't get that at the other banks.
You can't even get that if you put your money in a CD these days.
I know, so kind of whoa. Free access to every ATM in the world. I don't know how they pay for that. No monthly service fees. 10% of their revenue goes to charity, and no funding of political campaigns or industry lobbying. Where's the downside?
What's the name again?
Aspiration.com.
Aspiration. Yes, yeah, that sounds awesome.
It is. Yeah. And so, all right. And so, like I said, we try to find sponsors that make sense for you guys so that you'll like it as well. So it's actually now, because of that, so popular that there's a little bit of a wait list. But if you go to aspiration.com/TYT, they'll put you, sorry to the rest of the people applying, but they'll put you at the top of the list. So aspiration.com/TYT.
Damn, VIP treatment.
What can you do, man? TYT army, a little too strong. Okay.
All right. The drama continues at Fox News with yet another former Fox News employee filing a lawsuit against Roger Ailes and other executives at the company for her experience with alleged sexual assault. Now, this new lawsuit was filed just today on Monday by Julie Rajinsky, and she was a regular on The Five. However, she claims in the lawsuit that after Roger Ailes made advances toward her and she rejected him, all of a sudden she was pulled out of the regular rotation for the show. So she filed the suit against Fox News, the network's co-president Bill Shine, and its former CEO Roger Ailes, who of course no longer works there. She alleges that Ailes commented on her personal life and attractiveness and insisted on a kiss, hello, during private meetings. When she refused his advances, she alleges that he refused to meet with her and took her out of regular rotation on Fox's The Five.
Okay. So let me give a little bit more detail on that. So before each of these meetings he has with his female anchors, Roger Ailes, who used to run Fox News, would insist on getting a hello kiss. And they said that he sat in a chair that was lower than theirs, so they would have to bend down to give him the kiss. It's just like low level perviness that just kind of makes you shudder. Like, oh, come on, you're gonna be a child. You're a man in your 70s, and you're gonna, oh, I get to see your cleavage as you're kissing me. Did the male host have to also kiss you? Because like all the time they'll be like, oh, this is all over a little hello kiss. This is no big deal. Does Sean Hannity kiss you every time? You know, and by the way, let me give a little bit of, I mean, this is the most bizarre kind of credit to Sean Hannity, but Bill O'Reilly says, oh, they're just coming after me, and Roger Ailes, same thing. They're just coming after me for my fame and my money. But interestingly, no one's ever come after Sean Hannity on those. And he's just as famous. And,
that's a really good point.
And nearly as rich, right? And but there's no charges against Sean Hannity. Probably because Sean Hannity didn't do anything. But these are, you've got now five settlements against O'Reilly and six against Ailes. And those are just the settlements where Fox News goes, whoa, okay, boy, here you go, take the money. We don't want this any going anywhere near court. Then there is the other allegations, including this one,
right,
which amounted dozens of allegations against just Roger Ailes.
Also, look, you also have to keep in mind that one of the women who alleged sexual harassment against Roger Ailes was Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly had no incentive to make those claims up at all. I mean, she is obviously very successful, I'm sure fabulously wealthy, and it could only hurt her to come forward and say that Roger Ailes did this and that. But she took that risk, and I'm glad that she did it, because in the end, it didn't hurt her in any way. And it at least added credibility to other allegations against Roger Ailes.
By the way, Gretchen Carlson, on that lawsuit alone, they paid out $20 million for what Roger Ailes and the rest of Fox News did to Gretchen Carlson. It wasn't, she had allegations against some of the other guys, you know, with verbal harassment, etc. Ailes was trying to do the sexual harassment that was very specific, you know, sleep with me, yada yada. But the reason they paid the $20 million settlement is because it went to the culture of cover up at Fox News. So if you went to go complain about this, they'd bury it. And so, and Megyn Kelly writes about that in her book. The complaining about sexual harassment was deeply discouraged. So, if you're wondering why this woman came out today instead of when it happened, which is like the number one thing that people who do the sexual harassment say, "Oh yeah, why didn't they report it immediately?" Right? Because you scared the hell out of them. You scared the bejesus out of them. And people who did report it would get fired. They'd get removed from on being on air, which could cost them millions of dollars.
Right. And also, you don't know whether or not you're the only victim. And I think a lot of times people who have been victimized by sexual harassment or something as serious as sexual assault at the workplace feel intimidated about coming forward because they might think they're alone. They might think that no one's going to side with them or believe them. It could destroy their careers. I totally understand why people wouldn't want to come forward. I really appreciate it when people do, because you don't want to embolden these individuals to continue victimizing other people. But I'm glad that the truth is finally coming out about what was going on at Fox News. And I'm glad that some action's been taken. But also keep in mind that Fox News is one of the few cable news channels or news organizations that consistently attacks women who want gender equality, right? And why do you think that is? Why do you think they hate gender equality so much? It's because they want to continue doing this kind of stuff to women, and they want to feel like women are powerless and they can't do anything about it. Like, honestly, they hate this.
And so all that talk about like, no, we're don't care if you're a man or a woman, as long as you have the right conservative ideology. Almost all these women, not Rogan C, but the others, were conservatives. Gretchen Carlson, deeply conservative. But it didn't matter. That didn't protect her. Once the perverts at Fox News wanted to sleep with her, nothing protected them. It didn't matter how much they agreed. It became totally irrelevant. In the case of Roginski here, who's now suing, she says that Ailes told her, look, you know, if we didn't get us in trouble, we can go out for drinks and settle this. So why don't we have drinks at my office instead? Super obvious where he's going with this, given what he's done in the past. And specifically with her, so she politely declines, immediately taken off the five and dismissed, costing her hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars. And she explained all these different games he would play with her. And he talked to her, asked her about if she's single, asked her about her personal life, who's she dating now. And then he would go on to say, and she notes without any irony, that older married conservative men are great in sexual relationships because, quote, this is according to her, they may stray, but they always come back because they're loyal.
Oh, wow, how great. I mean, I can't think of how happy I would be if I had a husband who cheated on me, but always came back home. Yeah, that doesn't.
But he says that as he proposes to cheat on his wife with her.
Yeah.
But you know what? So that's so, like, you gotta be thinking, that's so crazy. That can't really, could that be true? No, understand this. First of all, they don't see their own hypocrisy at all. Mm-hmm. Almost everything they do is filled with hypocrisy, and they're like, yeah, what? I'm going to be loyal to my mistress and to my wife. I don't see what the problem is. But there's a second reason that's even more important. What he's trying to tell her with that loyalty talk is, if you're loyal to me by having a sexual relation with me, I will be loyal to you in terms of getting you a deal. That's the quid pro quo that he's offering.
He's disgusting. He's a disgusting person. All right. A federal judge has ruled that Donald Trump and his lawyers will not be able to drop a case where he is accused of inciting violence at one of his rallies. Now, the rally was in Louisville, Kentucky in March of 2016, and there was a viral video showing two protesters, and specifically one young black protester at the rally who was being pushed and shoved out of the event. Okay, and so if you look at the video, they were very forceful, and the woman decided to go ahead and file a lawsuit against Donald Trump for inciting the violence. Now, the judge, David J. Hale, ruled against efforts by Trump's attorneys to throw out a lawsuit accusing him of inciting violence against protesters at this campaign rally. Trump repeatedly said, this is a statement from the judge, by the way, Trump repeatedly said, get them out of here, before, according to the protesters, they were shoved and punched by his supporters. The judge noted that speech inciting violence is not protected by the First Amendment and ruled that there is plenty of evidence that the protesters' injuries were a direct and proximate result of Trump's words. Now, this is another case, yet another case where Trump's words work against him, right? He has diarrhea of the mouth. He says things without thinking about the ramifications. So during this rally, he was at the podium, you know, speaking in regard to the protesters and encouraging his supporters to get them out, right? And so you rile people up and some people might get forceful. So look, the judge did make clear that this doesn't mean that he's immediately going to find him guilty. He's just saying, no, let's adjudicate this properly. You are not allowed to drop this case.
Yeah, so basically Trump's attorneys were trying to say, this is not even a legitimate case. Let's not have this case go forward because we have a First Amendment right to say whatever the hell we want. And the judge basically is saying, no, we'll see if you actually did incite violence. That's for the actual court case, but it is going to go forward because you don't have a First Amendment right to incite violence. That's not part of the First Amendment.
Right.
And there is a very legitimate case to be made that you did. Now, in other rallies, he talked about, hey, I'll pay for your lawsuit if they sue you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a clear, obvious indication. Go ahead and assault them, and then if they sue you, I'll back you up. Now, of course, with Donald Trump, he doesn't mean any of it. He'd run right away from that. And in this case, when he's the one being accused of inciting violence, he's like, what, me? I would never, right?
Yeah.
Well, the judge is saying, no, you might have actually.
You might have actually, and that's based on what everyone has heard you say during the campaigns, right? So it's very similar to what happened with his proposed Muslim ban, version 1 and 2. So the argument is you can't, constitutionally speaking, you cannot ban a certain religion or a certain religious group from entering the country. And they're like, no, what are you talking about? This isn't a Muslim ban. And there's so much evidence of them indicating, Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump saying verbatim, Muslim ban, right? So that works against you. And while his supporters and while his staffers might argue, oh, but don't take him seriously, don't take his words literally. Well, these federal judges do take his words literally because words actually do mean something when it comes to legal proceedings like this.
Yeah. So in the case of the Muslim ban, he said, we want a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the country. And then he proposes a travel ban affecting only Muslim countries. And then they tell the judge, well, don't take him literally when he says total and complete shutdown of Muslims. Judge is like, yeah, no, of course I'm going to take him literally. He said it. It's super relevant as to whether this is a ban that is based actually on national security interests or it's a ban based on unconstitutional principles. How else would we adjudicate that other than taking the president seriously and literally?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that though. They have to constantly make a case literally in court proceedings to say, no, the president is an idiot. You shouldn't take him literally. He doesn't mean anything he says.
I know, it's crazy. But also another interesting component of this entire story and this entire situation is that he refuses to at least admit or take responsibility for his poor choice of words. You know what I mean? Like, there was a headline today about how he doesn't regret anything he's put out there on Twitter. But it's gotten you in trouble on so many different occasions, and it makes you sound or look like this erratic, crazy person. So look, his tweets are one thing, but his inability to recognize wrongdoing is a completely different beast that I don't know if we have any type of solution for.
There is no solution.
No.
And by the way, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I think liberals are, and Democrats, they got to get a hold of reality, okay? So Trump's a madman and he's stupid, and I've said that 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways, and I agree with them on saying that. That doesn't mean you can get him out of office. If he didn't do a literal financial deal with the Russians, we're going to be stuck with him for 4 years. There is no such thing as you're really unpopular, so you have to leave. Mm-hmm. That's not a thing. You have to have him on an impeachable offense. And a financial deal with the Russians is one. I think he did do it, but that's a hell of a thing to prove. But I feel like the reason I say that now is because I'm sensing from a lot of progressives or Democrats like, oh no, Trump will leave. Trump will leave.
No, he will not leave.
Unless it's the Russian thing and you have absolute evidence of a crime, he's not going to leave. Doesn't matter how little sense he makes. Never made sense in the first place.
I don't even think he'd get impeached if there was a clear financial tie to Russia. I don't.
I think he would, but we'll see. I mean, I hope we see.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
No, at that point, his deep unpopularity will make the Republicans split. We'll see.
All right. Moving on to some international news. An anti-Russia publication has written a story about missing gay men in Chechnya, which is very concerning, especially when you consider the fact that the leader of Chechnya has a very close relationship with Vladimir Putin, who is very clearly anti-gay. Now, as many as 100 gay men have been rounded up, and some of them are allegedly dead. And so we don't know many details about this, but here's what we do know. More than 100 gay men have been detained, and at least 3 have been killed by authorities in Chechnya. That's according to this Russian newspaper known as Novaya Gazeta. Also, dozens of men between the ages of 16 and 50 have been detained in connection with their non-traditional sexual orientation or suspicion of such. Now, the Russian Federation is known for its hostility to the LGBT community. Since 2013, it has upheld an anti-gay propaganda law that sharply curtails the public expression of LGBT identities. It's very similar to, what we reported years ago, where Russian officials would argue that talking about anything related to the LGBT community is gay propaganda that could harm children. So they didn't want people talking about it in public forums and supporting it. And in Chechnya recently, there were a number of LGBT people who wanted to do a gay pride parade. And so some are arguing that this is in retaliation to those demonstrations.
And of course, some of those folks were arrested in that parade as well. So this is exactly what we're worried about. In the beginning, they say, "Oh well, look, we're just saying that we're not against gay people. We're just against gay propaganda, and we're not worried about adults. We're just worried about the children." It always starts out with the children, right? And then it gets a little worse and a little worse, and all the while, people are like, "No, don't be alarmist. It's not a big deal." And then next thing you know, people are being rounded up, and if Novaya Gazeta is right, and the New York Times is reporting what they are alleging here. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they've started killing gay citizens in Chechnya.
Right. So, Vice has reported that 2 of the people who were allegedly murdered were reporters. And also, officials in Chechnya are denying this and saying that this is a completely made up April Fool's story, so no one should buy into it. But there is an important statement from the leader of Chechnya that I think is relevant to this conversation. So a spokesperson for the Chechen leader, who is a vocal supporter of Russian President Vladimir Putin, denied that any such activities have taken place. He further suggested that there are no gay people in the country at all. He says, "You cannot arrest or repress people who just don't exist in the republic. If such people existed in Chechnya, law enforcement would not have to worry about them, as their own relatives would have sent them to where they could never return."
So let's break that down a little bit. first of all, for the guys who are saying it's an April Fool's joke, then to curiously turn around and say, if they existed, their relatives would send them to a place they would never return from. Okay, then it's not a joke, and you would like to make them disappear. So which one is it? It's not a joke. The New York Times is reporting it. Okay, now, again, it comes from Novaya Gazeta, so, and it's in the middle of Chechnya where it is super hard to report. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're giving you all the caveats about they are reporting this, and hard to determine all the different aspects of it. But this is that this quote from Ramzan Kadyrov reminds me of what Ahmadinejad said in Iran. He said the same thing. Uh-huh. Said there are no gays in Iran.
Right.
And whenever they're about to either arrest, detain, oppress, or maybe even kill gay citizens, the thing that they say is there are no gays.
Right.
And by the way, this Kadyrov guy, who's just like Putin, loves to do the workout videos, take his shirt off, and praise Daddy Putin. Mm-hmm. Okay, going around shirtless with his and telling us how much he loves Putin. I know there are no gays in Chechnya. I know. Okay, and I don't know if they're using it as an excuse to kill some reporters, but any way you look at it, it is deeply, deeply troubling. And what you should remember is, no matter what the country is, when they tell you that they've started to take actions against a certain minority, don't worry, don't be alarmist. It won't end poorly. It almost always ends poorly.
All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, a number of avid Trump supporters are livid about his budget proposals. But does that convince them to vote in a different direction in the future? I'll tell you when we come back.
I believe we're back.
We're back.
Okay. So not a lot of time, so let me read one quick tweet, then I got to tell you these fun polls that we've been doing. Gabby Marita says, forget morality. Eventually, Fox will have to realize covering up sexual harassment of its employees really hurts the bottom line. That's about the only thing that'll motivate them, that's for sure. All right, let me go to more donors on the journalism campaign. $50 from Marsha in Indiana, $127 from Morgan in Texas, $300 from Bill in California. You guys are amazing. I know I say it every time, but I mean it every time. Every time I see Bill gave $300, Morgan $127 from these different places. Mm-hmm. Thank you, man. Thank you, thank you. Let's take a look, see where we are at tytnetwork.com/go. Okay, 1.570. Okay, we're almost there, guys. Once we get to 2 million, we're done. Or it's the first 100 days of Trump. So I don't know what'll come first. And we got less than a month now on that. Okay. So let me give you guys one more thing that's I found to be interesting. So we've been doing a lot of polls on the show lately, but we haven't given you an update in a while, so I want to give you an update.
Ooh, this is fun. I like this.
Okay. This was a kind of a tough one that we asked the other day on a really serious story about civilian deaths, because under the Trump administration, civilian deaths in the bombings have increased exponentially. He said he'd murder their families. Okay, so I asked, but it was a real question, and we set up why you might want to do this and, of course, the downsides of it. Would you execute 3 civilians if there was a 50% chance you could take out a terrorist compound? Now, granted, that terrorist compound could kill a lot of people, right? Nope, 15.5% saying they would take out the terrorist compound, 84.5% saying no, if it meant killing 3 civilians, they wouldn't do it. And trust me, we kill a lot more than 3 civilians.
Yeah.
We've killed dozens and, in some strikes, hundreds of civilians and not even gotten the terrorist. Okay.
I love our audience. I really do.
Yeah. Because
that shows you something about them and the morals that actually matter. But anyway, let's continue.
Yes.
On.
So now the next one was a lot lighter. Donald Trump was not threatening to. His government is saying that they are going to let the ISPs look through our browser histories. So the internet service providers, the Comcast, Verizon, etc., because of the laws that the Republicans passed, will get to see if you went to porn sites where, or wherever you went, right? So we asked, should Donald Trump release his browser history? he's going to make us submit to that. Unsurprisingly, 96.5% said yes. I like the 3.5% and we're like, no, no, he should get our browser history, but we shouldn't get his.
Do you think Trump watches porn?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I paused for a second because he's kind of a weird dude.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink alcohol, mm-hmm. and you know, he's up all night and yada yada. But think about all of the sexual things he's done in the past. But he's not very good with computers, though.
Yeah.
He has his Twitter thing, but otherwise he has to have printouts.
Yeah.
So, but I came to the conclusion, yes, because he is a male Homo sapien.
Right.
So,
you're probably right.
Unlikely that he doesn't watch porn. Okay. Should the Democrats filibuster Neil Gorsuch? Another serious question. Another no-brainer. 93.8%, 94% basically saying, of course they should filibuster Gorsuch.
Jeez.
But no, and we did that not because we wanted to like get like a ha-ha poll.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh yeah, see, you guys should do it. No, it's to point out to the Democrats, for actual progressives, this is not a close issue.
Right.
Okay. And you, by the way, you can see on where you can vote on the side of all of these. The first one was tytnetwork.com/civilians. You can still vote. We are continuing to track it. The browsing one was tytnetwork.com/browsing. That last one was tytnetwork.com/stand, because we wanted to show it's not just us, the mm-hmm. audience, the actual progressives in the country wanting to take a stand. In Washington, that's a 50-50 question.
Yeah.
In the real world, it's a 94-6 question. Okay. Should we have next one? Should we have sympathy for Trump voter whose husband is being deported?
Wow! First of all, it's insane how many people voted. Second of all, ah, man, it's definitely a bleeding heart liberal thing because I'm in the no category for sure.
Well, but that's interesting. I thought the yes was fairly high. 28.7% said, yeah, we should have sympathy for her. I know she voted for Trump, but it sucks that her husband's being deported. But 71.3% of you, which Anna still doesn't find high enough, said no, no remorse. Sad day for you. You shouldn't have voted for Trump.
I want to be clear about something, though. I feel a great deal of sadness for the husband, but not for her, because of the line of thinking that happens with some Trump supporters. This idea that they're superior and their lives are more superior than everyone else's. And so no one's gonna touch me. I'm not a bad person. My husband, who's undocumented, isn't a bad person. It's all those other undocumented people, get him out. Like that kind of mentality drives me nuts. And so that's why I have no sympathy for her. But for those who do, you're better than I am. So thank you.
You're better than me. Okay, tytnetwork.com/remorse to vote on that one. Last one was just another super fun one, small, tiny poll. Who has the best alias? Donald Trump with John Barron. Only 3.6%. Wayne Tracker, that was Rex Tillerson's fake alias, and 14.3%, or his alias, his real alias, his fake name.
Uh-huh.
But the big winner, showing how nonpartisan our audience is, they still thought Anthony Weiner was the biggest clown with the alias of Carlos Danger at 82.1%.
How are you going to compete with Carlos Danger?
Wayne Tracker's pretty damn good, man, but Carlos still got him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carlos Danger, get out of here.
All right, we just wanted to make sure that you guys knew which way that you voted after all the great votes that you guys sent in. Okay, what's next, Anna?
All right. Nicholas Kristof with the New York Times recently went to Trump country in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to kind of get a sense of whether or not some of his supporters are concerned about the fact that Trump's budget proposal would cut a lot of the programs that they rely on and depend on. And if they're upset about these cuts, would they vote differently in upcoming elections? Now, this is an insanely, insanely interesting case study. And of course, it's based mostly on anecdotal evidence. But I think that it's important to kind of look at different patterns and see how voters feel about things that are working against their best interests, right? Now, here's an important thing to keep in mind before we continue on with this story. So while conservatives often decry government spending in general, red states generally receive more in federal government benefits than blue states do, and thus are often at greater risk from someone like Trump. And this story perfectly outlined specific examples of how that's the case. So for instance, there is this one woman who's an avid Trump supporter. Her name is Rhonda McCracken, and she had a very abusive husband and luckily was able to leave him thanks to a program that she says saved her life. It's Tulsa's Domestic Violence Intervention Services. And because of Trump's proposals, if they pass, all government funding for that program would be cut and the program would no longer exist. And so Rhonda was asked, like, how do you feel about this? How does it make you feel? And she's like, look, they saved my life and my son's. My prayer is that Congress will step in to protect domestic violence programs, right? So she's mad that Trump is proposing cutting funds toward it, but she's saying, I'd vote for him again anyway, which is insane, right? Like, okay. So that's one example.
They always think that, like, because they believe it. They believe it in their hearts. It's the other guys, usually brown, that are taking advantage of these programs. Me, I deserve the program. This is a good program for me, a bad program for them. Why? They're a welfare queen or whatever, right? Whichever program that they happen to be in. So when you think that irrationally in the first place, it's hard to shake you out of your irrationality.
Look, it is hard, and this inability to empathize with other people, I think, is the underlying problem with everything in this country right now. But look, every single person in the United States, except for the top 1%, goes through moments in life that are super difficult, and you need help, right? I'm not afraid to admit that. I definitely needed that help when I was a college student, and my parents weren't making that much money, and I needed to pay for college. Government steps in, and it helps you pay, right, with grants and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Our taxpayer money should go toward programs that actually help our people, as opposed to like weapons manufacturers and things like that. Anyway, let me continue with more people. So one person says, why is building a wall more important than educating people? Asked Billy Hinkle, a Trump voter who is enrolled in a program called Tulsa Work Advance that trains mostly unemployed workers to fill well-paying manufacturing jobs. Trump has proposed eliminating a budget pot that pays for the program. But Mr. Hinkle says that he would still vote for Trump.
Well, then just shut up already. Then don't complain about your program being cut. Look, if you want jobs programs, Democrats are in favor of jobs programs. They got a lot of other problems, but that ain't one of them. They do. They consistently vote to help people get retrained. Okay,
right.
So we didn't vote for the wall. You voted for the wall. Now he's complaining about the wall.
Right.
You voted for Trump and you're complaining about the wall? And you didn't think he'd cut? Look, to be fair to Billy Hinkle and the other guys, Trump did lie about jobs. He said, I'm going to bring back jobs.
Right.
So when he cuts a jobs program, I think it's legitimate for Hinkle to think, well, that's a pretty significant betrayal, right? Mm-hmm. Because some of the stuff he didn't lie about. He said, I'm going to build a wall. He's going to waste money building a wall. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't like Muslims, and I'm going to do a total and complete shutdown on Muslims. And in a lot of ways, he's doing the Muslim ban. But in this case, he said he was going to do jobs, and he ain't doing jobs. He's cutting jobs programs.
Right.
So, but despite all that, Billy Hinkle's like, no, still going to vote for him.
Right. Let me give you another person. Judy Banks, a 70-year-old struggling to get by, said she voted for Trump because he was talking about getting rid of those illegals. But Banks now finds herself shocked that he also has his sights on funds for the Labor Department's Senior Community Service Employment Program, which is her lifeline. This is a program that helps the elderly find jobs and may at least make minimum wage in a public service jobs just so they can get by. She says, if I lose this job, I'll sit home and die. And yet, knowing that this would kill her, she would still support Trump, which is insane. Nicholas Kristof writes, I talked to many Trump voters about the impact if Trump's budget cuts go through, and none regretted their votes in November. They all said that they might vote for Trump for re-election. And if you want to look at the broader picture and an actual study into this, one recent survey found that only 3% of Trump voters would vote differently if the election were today. And they cite a number of different reasons, okay? Reason number one is just defiance because they're angry at liberals like me who call them stupid bigots, right? And so they're like, we're not stupid bigots, so we're going to keep voting against our best interests. Okay, do you, boo. And then another reason is, well, it's a little too early to tell whether or not Trump is a terrible person who's going to basically destroy our lives.
Yeah, I remember when that poll came out and some liberals were crowing that, hey, 3.5% of his base have turned on him. I'm like, that's a really low number, guys.
Yeah.
That's not a thing to brag about. If you asked the same question of Obama at the same time, it probably would have been a similar number, maybe even more. So you have to be realistic about it. So no, they have not left him in big numbers. But that poll was actually done before healthcare. And healthcare actually did hit his numbers pretty hard, because that was a great number of people who were like, wait, I'm going to lose my healthcare? The guy told me that I was going to get better healthcare and for a lower price. Mm-hmm. So that was another one of his lies. So I think eventually, not the things that he's doing that the media is flipping out about, like the wall and the bans, well, those are the things they voted for.
Right.
I don't think that's going to hurt him at all, right?
Agreed.
It's the things he lied about that's going to hurt him. He said he was going to drain the swamp, and he filled this administration with Goldman Sachs officials and corruption, etc. I think that's going to be a massive problem for him down the road, because that's the thing they care most about. The cutting the jobs programs, that's a big lie, yada, yada. It goes on. And so I think his numbers will erode. They are beginning to erode once the stuff settles in, but not erode to the degree that they should, which is the point of this article and giving you these anecdotes. So, which then finally leads me back to Judy Banks, the 70-year-old who's going to sit home and die. Well, now you're offended by people like us who said that some of you, and not all of you, I would say, and I have said throughout, about half of you are stupid bigots. Okay, the other half got lied to, and you're going to get pissed, and you're going to flip over, not because you like Democrats or liberals, but because you're going to realize that Trump's a charlatan, right? Mm-hmm. But so my heart breaks for Judy Banks, because we want to protect 70-year-olds. We don't want them to sit home and die. We want to help them be productive members of society and etc. On the other hand, you say, it's okay if I sit home and die as long as he goes after the illegals. And remind me how that doesn't make you a stupid bigot. Just on the idea that he'll go after brown people, even if it means it kills them, they're still going to support him. So that 50% of Trump supporters are not movable, because they don't live in the rational world, and their hatred has consumed them. So that if you hurt the other guys more than you hurt me, even if you hurt me, I'm still going to vote for
you. It's insane. I mean, that is some deep hatred. All right. Anyway, let's end on a good note. The state of California is proposing legislation that would make the state a sanctuary state, not only for immigration, but also marijuana. Now, of course, there are some who are concerned about individuals like Jeff Sessions and the federal government going after states that have legalized marijuana for recreational use or medicinal use. However, there are lawmakers in California that are looking to protect those who partake in the occasional doobie. Now, Assembly Bill 1578 would bar cooperation by police in the state with federal authorities seeking to bust marijuana growers and sellers operating legally under California law. It would prohibit state and local agencies, unless served with a court order, from using local money, facilities, or personnel to assist a federal agency to investigate, detain, report, or arrest any person for commercial or non-commercial marijuana or medical cannabis activity that is authorized by law in the state of California. Now, the only people who are upset about this are cops. So cops are like, how dare you guys come up with the rules that we then have to either enforce or not enforce? Yeah, that's how the system's supposed to work, right?
Yeah, you don't write the laws. Yeah. And we vote for legislators who write the laws for us. They're right. Our representatives. Your job is to enforce those laws, not whine that you can't make more absurd arrests that the people of California don't want you to make.
Exactly. So I think this is good news, and we'll see how it goes, because even though California wants to protect undocumented immigrants, we do know that there were a number of ICE raids that happened in the state, and they did round up undocumented individuals and deport them. And so this is an effort to kind of resist Trump's administration, but they can only go so far.
Yeah. No, I love that you pointed out the cops, because one particular sheriff, Donnie Youngblood, Kern County Sheriff, said it's really quite offensive.
Why is that offensive? It is your job to enforce laws that our lawmakers write and pass. That is, if you want to be a lawmaker, then go ahead and run for office. But for now, you are a cop.
He complained legislators want to, quote, direct law enforcement how they want us to work.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's
how it's supposed to work. Okay, here's what you can arrest people for. Here's what you can't arrest them for. Okay, welcome to law enforcement. Okay, so look, great news overall. It's super rare to see your representatives actually stick up for you. Mm-hmm. So this is California saying, not on our watch. So you want to come in here and try to enforce laws that the people of California do not agree with, and that they specifically voted to the opposite of. But we're not going to do it. We're not going to let you come in here and bother the people of California. They don't agree to these laws. And we've passed our own laws, and it is in direct contradiction of your insane war on drugs. So it's on. It's amazing and wonderful to have your representatives actually represent you. And it's happening in California. I'll take it. Fantastic. What did I tell you? Democracy alive at the state level. It'd be great if we could get it at the national level. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're out of time. In the post game, I'm going to tell you how my weekend with the kids went. Mm-hmm. My wife is away, mm-hmm. and I did my first ever play date. Uh-huh. Did I bungle it? I didn't know the etiquette at all. You're going to be very amused by the stories. Uh-huh. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Become a member, you get all the post games. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.